bourbon, and beyond. A celebration of the spirit and soul of Kentucky. September 23rd and 24th in Louisville. The world's top bourbons, paired with celebrity chefs, Louisville's top restaurants, and iconic musicians. Featuring the voice behind Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks. Just like the wine we know. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Eddie Vedder. The Steve Miller Band. Also featuring Joe Bonamassa, Band of Horses, Gary Clark Jr., Amos Lee, Buddy Guy, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Chris Robinson Brotherhood, Paul Rogers. Celebrity chef appearances from Tom Colicchio. Over 20 of Louisville's top restaurants, curated by Chef Edward Lee. For the full list of artists, chefs, food, bourbons, and tickets, head to bourbonandbeyond.com. For our love of bourbon, for our love of Kentucky, Bourbon and Beyond. Get your tickets on sale now.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
He moved away, and so I just kind of was like on my own at my parents' house, and just, you know, I had time to myself to think and like discover music on my own and everything. I think it was just kind of a cool difference, you know?
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. I know that you're still really new. Like, I would say that you're like a breakout band, but it's like you're just climbing so fast.
Oh, thanks, man.
For the people that are new to your music, like, how would you describe your sound? Because I know that you've got a lot of influence in there.
We draw from a lot of different things. My two favorite artists are The Strokes and David Bowie.
Okay.
But I'm not great with that question, but somebody told me one time what they thought we sounded like, and I liked it a lot. They said it's like The Strokes were just a little bit grittier and had a psychedelic tinge. And so I was like, I like that. Yeah, I'm going to use that. Yeah.
Yeah, The Strokes are amazing. They, I know that they were like on a hiatus for a little bit. And they came back, and it was like, when they came back, it just, like, they just kind of took everybody by storm all over again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, The Stroke, I mean, they're just, like, I look up to them. I still haven't seen a live show. I'd love to. Love to open for them. Julian, if you hear this, hit us up. We'd be so down. Yeah.
What do you love most about performing and just being out on the stage? Because I know for a lot of people, it's kind of nerve wracking, the anxiety of performing. Do you get that?
Sometimes I do, but it's comforting when, like, now recently we've started to see people sing along to a song or something, and it's like, oh wow, people give a shit, and it's cool. But no, I mean, it's cool to see there's people there. I mean, that's the coolest thing. And just to be able to play music, you know, you get nervous and you do a bunch of shows and you're like, you're tired of the road. You never get tired of playing, I don't think, but you always, it's just a good reminder to know that, like, you're doing what you love. And that's the coolest thing about it.
I wanted to ask you, do you remember your very first show? Like, what was it like for you on an emotional level? Like, what was going through your head? Because I know it had to have been just crazy, like a trip, just, you know, performing.
Oh, yeah. I was, like, maybe 13 or 14. I was in seventh or eighth grade. And I was so nervous. There's a video out there. I won't say the name of the band. If you find it, good job. But there's a video out there of us playing at the Crow's Nest, and I'm just acting a fool. So nervous. But it was, you know, it changed my life. But I remember the exact first show. Actually, there was one show before that, and that was the middle school talent show. And that was crazy. Yeah.
So I know you talked about your father, you know, he was a musician himself. Did he personally train you, or?
He taught me a couple chords and just like showed me some cool stuff and just kind of let me do my own thing, and that's what he was all about, and just making sure we, you know, we'd write something and he'd be like, yeah, either of us, and he'd be like, that sounds like yada yada yada, and he'd be like, god dang it, there. So he always wanted to make sure we were original, but he kind of just let us, after we knew some of the basics, he just kind of let us take the rein for ourselves, or the reins for ourselves, yeah.
So I know it's super cliche to to ask, you know, a musician or a band like their name, the origin of their name. But are you a fan of the movie The Raid? Is that where you got the name from?
I actually got the name. Well, Lucas is my middle name, so that's Dan Luke. And then The Raid I got from a song by Mad Villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, Raid by Mad Villain. So Dan Luke and the Raid. Yeah, I love Mad Villain.
Dude.
Yeah. Dude. Yes. Yeah, man. I love Mad Villain. He's the bomb. Yeah.
Yeah, him and MFQ.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where we got the name the Raid. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, me and Kick really like grew up on, well, kind of like on our own, kind of discovered hip hop. Because, you know, growing up in the South, you don't hear a whole lot about it, especially like the underground stuff.
Exactly.
And yeah, just like kind of, yeah, you just hear like, it's, you know, it just started with, you know, some, you know, younger artists, of, you know, back when we were younger, and we just kind of delved into it more. And it's kind of funny how like we did that and then we got really back into rock and stuff, and now we're kind of like getting back into hip hop. And we're not like, we're not wanting to make hip hop. I don't think we could do it. I think it takes a lot, but we love rock music and stuff, but we definitely still like have some hip hop influences in our own music and stuff. But yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, I listened to Mad Villain, and I just, like, I never, because you're right, down south, it's like, no,
yeah.
Like, you have to really search it out.
Totally, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, if you're from New York or Chicago or L.A., it's a different story. Things are a lot more easily accessible, and those people, like, those groups or those, like, artists will come there to play, but Mad MF Doom is never going to come to Bowling Green, Kentucky to play a show. Yeah.
Probably not even Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, who knows? But, yeah.
If you're listening, MF Doom, please come.
Yeah, absolutely. We would love to see you. Just somewhere in the South. We'll travel. Yeah.
I think his real name's like Derek Dumille or something like that.
Really? Yeah. I don't know, like, a Kick, actually, my drummer knows. He gets real into the lives of the artists with hip-hop and everything, but yeah.
It's crazy because, like, I've never seen him without his mask on,
yeah,
but apparently, like, he was at a show, like, maybe, like, 6 or 7 years ago, and his mask came off, and he, like, ran off stage. I don't,
oh,
is
really?
That true, or?
Wow, I don't know. I haven't heard that.
No.
That's crazy. I believe it. I could see that, you know, try to, like, have a persona and stick with it, but yeah.
Speaking of personas, would you guys say that your onstage persona is different from your like regular life demeanor?
Somewhat. I'd say like our regular life demeanor at home is a little different. It's kind of goofier. We're definitely more like off the cuff, just kind of silly boys. But we're not trying to be anything different. It just kind of happens.
Okay.
But
I didn't know, like, if you were like just like old Victorian, like, oh, hello, John. Like,
oh no,
like,
no, no, no. We're some serious goofballs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What inspires you to create? Because I know, like, with music, it's like you really have to have that creative bone in your body, and you have to have the desire to create, to build, to mold, to shape. I guess what inspires you to write and to perform music?
I think the biggest inspiration for any artist, whether it be like subconscious or conscious, it's life. Like, you look around and, like, everything is art. Like, you know, it's just, I don't know, events in your own life inspire you. I think life is the biggest inspiration. Well, for me, I'll say definitely for me personally. I think that, you know, you hear most about, you know, people's lives, and actually, like, I'll try to, like, make up a character or like something like that and write about it, but it always ends up being about something that's going on in my life, no matter what. And that's, life is the biggest inspiration in making art for me. Yeah.
Speaking of creating, tell me about your newest single. It's amazing. I mean, it definitely grabs you. I'll be honest, like, I had heard of you guys, and I had heard your single, prior to being invited to the festival today, but I didn't know that you guys were performing at the festival, so it was a pleasant surprise.
Oh, cool.
And I was just, you know, tell me about the single, like, what went into it, what's the story behind it?
That's an interesting story. I came up with the first lyric, which is just, it's like, feeling ashamed, played like Texas Hold'em, I've been taking Tippy Tame, yada, 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 yada. It's that part. I came up with that, just had this, like, rhythm in my head, like, this, honestly, like, back to hip-hop, like, a hip-hop beat, like, like, that kind of rhythm, and I just kind of came up with those lyrics, and then came to the studio, and was, we were, like, rattling around, like, what songs we're going to use. Like, I got this lyric, this one lyric we could maybe turn into something. And we were like, let's work on it. So we worked on it, and it was actually the night of the election. And so I, like, saw Donald Trump got elected, and I got wasted. Because I was just depressed. And
everybody,
so, yeah, I woke up the next day, and we recorded the bones and everything, and and I had to just finish the lyrics, and so I finished the I stayed up until like 9 in the morning finishing the lyrics, and they were about that initial night of the election, and like how I was just like rattling through life and like expecting things to be good, and then it's just all of a sudden in the flip of a button. And it's not even just in your personal life, like, things can happen that will affect everyone. And that's kind of the mind-blowing thing about it.
Yeah, like, you know, not to bring up a morbid topic, but, you know, like the thing in Las Vegas, you know, that's just crazy. And it's, you know, I hate to sound sentimental. Oh, very nice. Oh, she's pretty.
Hi. I'm Maddie.
This is Maddie.
Nice to meet
she's
you.
She's an amazing musician as well.
Thanks, Bibi. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, you want?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I'm just... they're going to go see Cold War Kids, and I was just going to hang out over here.
Okay, well, we'll be done in a second.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you, too.
You know, not to sound super sentimental, but, you know, like... music festivals to me have always just been a place of solace, you know, because I don't know, it sounds cliche, but being an African American, a lot of times when you go to indie rock festivals and stuff, it's like there's not very many people like me, but it's like everyone treats me wonderful, you know what I mean? And just, I've never experienced hate, you know what I mean?
Oh,
and it was like the thing in Vegas, it was just hate and just like insanity and stuff. And yeah, like, you as a musician, like, how do you feel about, like, what happened, and do you ever, are you afraid now as a result, or?
I know, well, it scared me, but I feel like I can, me personally, I can't be afraid. I'm not gonna, like, stop. If I'm playing at a festival, and some guy like that shoots me dead, I hope that it's just me. And that, you know, if that's the end of it all, I died on stage. And that's, like, I don't want to be afraid, but, like, that is... It blows my mind how horrible a person can be. And that's what really makes me afraid. It's just that there's that kind of evil in the world. And there's that those kind of people that will project hatred and, like, on other people. And it's so... It's hard to wrap your head around. And as far as, like, playing shows, no, I'm not afraid. But as far as culturally, like... You know, like, the whole society, like, That makes me scared. For life, not for playing shows. I'm going to keep playing shows no matter what. But I definitely want to, like... It's just such a bad thing. And, you know, that kind of thing... That kind of evil's always existed. It's just kind of been well... at times well contained, and then at times, like...
Yeah, right. Insane thing about it.
It's like you just don't know. That's what leads to the insanity. It's like it's just randomness, you know.
Yeah. It could be any time, and it's so horrible. I wish that we could live in a world of, this sounds so typical, but we could live in a world of just love and peace, but that's part of the human experience, and it's shitty. It's not a thing that anyone should experience. It's not something that anyone should. I feel bad because, like, there's little kids that are going to hear about, you know, and it's just, I mean, we're at a festival right now. We're at Mimfo, and there's little kid, like, my niece is running around, and, like, you know, I worry about the future of people and everything, and yeah, life's crazy. It's. Sometimes an amazing place to be in, and sometimes it's just somewhere you don't want to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I would sum up life. It's, you know, as cliche as it sounds, it really is a roller coaster.
It really is. Yeah. Kind of, you're going one way, and then just like, you know, that song Golden Age, it's kind of a bit like it's ironic that, and I wasn't trying to be ironic, it's just, you know, it's like I was thinking like, oh, we're living in a golden age for equality and people treating each other fairly, and then just all of a sudden, you know, it's just the flip of a button, and that's just the way the world works. Yeah.
Tell me about the message behind your music, because I know, like, a lot of people, you know, on the surface, it's like, you know, feel good, gritty rock and roll, just so much, you know, just good times all around. But hey, Kick! Nice to meet you, man. We're here. We're also being joined by a drummer, Kick.
How you doing, man?
Hey, good, man. I'm just super excited to talk to you guys about your music and just being here today at Mimfo Fest.
Dude, it's been an amazing experience playing the stage. You know, we had a good reaction from the crowd and everything. We love being here, and yeah, I love that this is the inaugural Mimfo, and we got to be here for it.
Yeah. So you guys made history,
right? Yeah. Here we are, right? Yeah.
So I was just talking to Dan, cause it's like, I was saying, like, a lot of your music, like, on the surface, it's, you know, it's like feel good, and it is, you know, for the most part, it's like feel good rock and roll. But some of your songs are really deep. How do you guys balance, you know, the message of your music with, like, the good feel good party, you know, party side?
Well, I will have to say, you know, when we wrote those songs, we were going through a time in our lives where it was like, feel good, like it kind of was that, and like I just writing music, I always want to remain true to how I feel at the current moment, and that's sometimes a hard thing to do, sometimes a hard thing to accept, but yeah, with Golden Age, it kind of had, like, we weren't intending on making like a dark song out of it, but it just kind of happened, and I think that's like the beauty of art, and sometimes you do things you can't help it, and but yeah, I mean, we want to, our, at least my own personal goal as a musician is to make people feel something, whether it's happiness, sadness, anger, whatever it is, I want somebody to feel something, and you know, I don't want to make people angry, like, I want people to feel like just something. I think that's important. Emotions are so important to art, and it's the core of it all.
What do you say, Kick?
So, you know, I've been his best friend for a long time. We've been playing music together for a long time, and I personally am not a songwriter, but I try to at least be. I try to support him as much as I can in the music and trying to vividly express what he's saying, the message that he's conveying just through his words and doing the exact same thing with our instruments without yeah, yeah, exactly. And to, you know,
I would imagine would be hard because, you know, like you're given some music and you have to basically express it and put it into action with what you do, you know.
Well, drumming to me is it's a very, very primal thing. And it's the root of us as human beings, and so I get this message that's trying to convey a certain emotion, and as a drummer I try and express that the same way. So, you know, when it gets heavy and tense and in dark, expect those drums to get, you know, pretty heavy and, you know, heavy and tense and dark. Yeah, you know, and that's what I do. That is my goal whenever each time we go to write a new song, we sit down together and, yeah.
How do you guys, because I know you guys said that you're, like, childhood friends. Has there ever been a time where it's been tough to, like, create music together just due to, like, creative differences or?
Well, not due to creative differences. Due to, sometimes we'll get, you know, irked at each other in the studio and it's just, or even just, like, at practice and, like, little things. It's just about being friends, like, and we're being, like, we're like brothers, you know. That's just how it how it goes. And it's never has been like a thing of pain or, you know, it's just kind of like frustrating sometimes. But I mean, like, at the end of it, like, I mean, me and him yesterday were arguing over the phone, and then, like, literally we're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we're like, you want to hang out later, you know? And yeah, like, you know, when we say sorry and we hug, it's done. It's over with. It's back, you know, giving each other kisses on the cheeks and everything. You know, it's a fun thing. It's,
I was going to ask you. Now, this is another cliche question, but
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, it's cool. I was going to just say
I was saying true to him.
Oh,
the kid. Yeah. I was like, oh, that came at the wrong time.
It's cool. Hey, I mean, so you guys were childhood friends. How did the band form? How did you decide that you guys wanted to play together?
Well, I mean, it was just kind of obvious, me and Kick playing together. But as far as the other guys, we had some people come and go. And Dylan and Anthony, we just kind of like decided that it was going to stick. We played South By together, and we'll say we had a spiritual experience the night before on some spiritual substances, and decided that we were like, it was just a moment of like, this is the band, dude. And it was very typical, but it was real as real can get, I think, when we decided that was the way it was.
So we had a project with another guy named Spencer, and I'd been playing jazz with him for a little bit, and I had texted Dan one day, or maybe gave him a call, and I was like, you gotta come meet this kid.
Oh, yeah.
So that happened for a little bit, and you know, about halfway through that, we decided to take an entirely different musical direction with it, and then out of that, you know, Spencer decided to go to college, and so out of that, you know, really, really grew Dan Luke and the Raid. He had this whole new thing that he was trying to bring about, and he was like, you want to be a part of this? I was, absolutely, man. Like, I'm here with you to the end, you know? So, yeah.
Now, you guys are gearing up for a tour, if I'm Pop correct.
Yeah.
What do you guys love most about touring?
The shows, meeting the people after the shows, and just... Actually, one thing that was really interesting when we went on tour with Declan was just, like, slowly but surely, like, growing closer and closer to the band you're playing with. But we are going on tour with the Weeks, who are already good friends of ours, so should be very interesting right off the bat. Pretty fun, yeah.
They're good. They play, I think, tomorrow at, like, noon or 1 o'clock. So, yeah, they're really good. I saw them for the first time last year, and I was, like, blown away.
They're amazing, yeah. We love those guys. We're actually... Damien from the Weeks is going to be playing bass for us the whole tour. Yeah. We had our guitarist just got a job in Philadelphia working on airplanes for Boeing as an electrical engineer. So we were like, take the job, dude. This is your dream. So he did that. And so we moved Dylan over to guitar. permanently, and now we're kind of like looking for a permanent basis. Also, if you're a bassist and want to play in Dan Luke and the Raid, come hang. Yeah.
How?
Your interview to advertise.
No, please do. I was going to ask, like, for our listeners, like, how can they interact with you guys, find out more about you, and purchase your music?
Well, we're on, you know, we're not against streaming. Like, you know, I think it's like, I'd rather have people hear us than make money off people. I mean, but if you want to buy it, you can buy our stuff on iTunes as well. I'm not discouraging that. But, yeah, we're on all the streaming services and stuff. There may be some obscure ones that we're not on out there.
There are, like,
yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, just if you want to keep up with us on social media, like, that's how you kind of get a little glimpse into our lives. But,
What's your handle on social media?
It's Dan Luke the Raid. Yeah, or at Dan Luke the Raid. And then on Facebook, it's Dan Luke and the Raid. Yeah.
So this is kind of like a little bit off topic, but speaking of streaming, like, what are your opinions on it? Are you like for it or you're against it? Because I look at it as like kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, it's good because people hear about you, but it's kind of bad in terms of like you getting all your money that you deserve.
I personally, I'm totally for it. Just like what Dan said, in the end, it's really not about making money. It's about getting our music out there and making somebody feel a certain way, you know? That's what it really all comes down to. I mean, yes, it'd be nice to have help putting food on the table, but, you know, there's a reason why they call us starving artists. You know, it's what we do, and we do it for what we love, you know? So, yeah.
And I will say that, like, just like any industry, there, you know, it's a new thing, and, like, it takes time to regulate and do everything, or it's gonna work. Like, you know, people, certain, like, record labels were buying people's songs for $100 back in the, you know, 30s and 40s. Like, it's gonna get better. Like, it will. And, like, I mean, I'm glad the people that were doing, you know, the things that they were doing in the record industry as far as being the artist and the talent, I'm glad they were a part of it. I'm glad they weren't like, oh, I mean, that just, I don't want to miss an opportunity. And, like, and, you know, I don't think it's wrong to, like, be upset about, like, you know, the current regulation on streaming services and payment for artists. You know, I understand it, but us personally, like, we're just trying to get out there. Yeah.
I've got another question that's slightly off topic, but, you know, like, okay, so you guys are, I guess, maybe 6 or 7 years younger than me, maybe. But do you remember when Nirvana came out, like, just the hysteria that...
We're actually quite young. I'm 21. Kick is 20. And so we were born after Kurt Cobain died, but we do remember, like, the aftershock and, like, all that and, like, just everything. But yeah, man, I went through a massive Nirvana phase.
Yeah, I know,
right? Yeah, I think that's, like, part of, like, if you're going to play alternative music or if you're going to be in it in any way, like, you got to go through a phase. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My question is, like, a lot of people say that, like, the music industry is, like, it's due for, like, that explosion again. And I know that you guys, like, there's been a lot of really good buzz about you guys, and you're constantly on the rise. My question is, do you ever feel, I guess, pressure, or do you feel stress to live up to this mantle that you guys have been given? At any point, do you guys feel just, like, stressed out that, like, hey, we have to do everything right, we have to, you know, look a certain way, or do things a certain way?
No, I wouldn't say, so. I mean, just like what Dan just said. Yeah, we're just us, and we try to, as individuals, we try to live the best lives that we can lead, and living up to an expectation. For me, on a very individual level, you know, the only expectation that you have is to love, just as a human being. So, me personally, no, I don't ever feel any stress about that or anything, you know.
How about you, Dan?
Our whole fit, we're not trying to, like, be something more than we are, or we just are who we are, and wherever it goes, that's where it'll go. Welcome back, Maddie. But, no, it's not like, I'm excited for the, like, music right now. I think it's just amazing, but I'm not worried or like, stressed about, like, trying to live up to something. I think it's just part of being an artist is just making art, and like, you know, and it just so happens that you mentioned like dressing. We like to like dress up, but I mean, granted, like yesterday I was wearing loafers, dirty basketball shorts, and like a crimson shirt. So it's not like we're doing 24/7 just, you know, looking as cool as we can. But I like clothes. But yeah. Now, as far as the music industry is concerned and its rise, I think we're not worried about trying to live up to something. It's just being who we are. Yeah.
So for somebody that missed your set today, or somebody that has never seen your set, and they're on the fence about coming out to see you guys perform, what can they expect from your live shows?
We try to be as authentic as possible, and that's one thing that you can expect to see, and we're just, you know, it's loud. not too loud, not piercingly loud, but I mean, I'll just be a little honest. I was singing, at the end of our set, I sing the song Carry Your Home that's going to be on our record, and I saw my girlfriend Maddie out there over here, and I'll be 100% honest, a little tear dropped. So, no, there's real emotion when we play. And I don't mean that in, like, a cocky way. Just we feel emotions when we play. And, like, that's our whole point, to play music.
That leads into my next question. In your opinion, what makes a good musician? I mean, personally, I think, like you said, emotion plays a big part. Would you say the same, or...?
Oh, 100%. Emotion is, like, what I think the biggest factor in creating. I think, like, a lack of emotion kind of, like, will put me in the worst writer's block in the world. Just me personally, you know. I don't know. Some people can just rattle off songs like they're nothing. But, you know, no matter what, though, they're going to write about something that most likely that they felt.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's cool. In your opinion, what is it that makes, or what are the qualities of a good musician, whether he be a drummer, singer, guitarist?
Just like what Dan said, emotion is definitely, you know, it's definitely the key and the root of it all, you know. Just as I had mentioned earlier, you know, drumming is really, really primal. And so as far as just emotion is concerned, there's nothing. Whenever I have a stressful day at work or whenever I'm just, you know, feeling whatever, anything, I can go bang on my drums. I would personally credit the second thing that I would hold true to a good musician and everything is determination and perseverance. And, you know, not giving up on the instrument that you play, you know. It's been hard, but, you know, I've been going at drums 8 years strong now. And, you know, every day, you know, it constantly feels like you're going nowhere. And because drumming is also an extremely, extremely physical thing, you know, in a way, I don't really have to pay attention to notes and keys and all that good stuff. I get to really lay into the basics of it and into the rhythm. And the determination is a very, very big part of that. And just being able to constantly want to further yourself. And, you know, it's extremely natural to feel as though you're not going anywhere. And then, you know, you see a buddy of yours that plays drums too that you haven't seen in a year, even 6 months, and they say, "Oh my gosh, you've been practicing, haven't you?" It's just, that's where that, like, that's very, it's a very, very good feeling for somebody to be able to notice, and that's where that determination really comes in, is, you know, if you really want to constantly better yourself and further yourself, you got to stick with it, you know, and that really goes for everything. So I think determination and perseverance are definitely big part of being a musician.
And I'm so sorry to keep you guys. I just have one last question.
This has been an amazing interview, by the way.
Thank you. I was really nervous. I don't know if you could tell, like, before we started, I was like, really.
You're a great interviewer.
This has definitely been one of my favorite interviews, if not my absolute favorite interview.
Super
yeah.
Introspective. I love interviews. I like talking to people. Yeah.
So this is kind of a weird question, but do you guys have any, like, weird rituals or weird exercises that you do before you perform to kind of get the kinks out and to, like, just to put you at ease? Like, is there anything?
Yeah. As a drummer, every single time, especially if I get nervous before a show, I start doing a little workout before the show. You know, I do a couple push-ups, a couple jumping jacks, you know, run back and forth in the parking lot a few times, you know, whatever. I just really start to get my blood pumping. And we normally, I would say, like 9 times out of 10, most definitely, we have a prayer. We get together, we huddle up, and we say, you know, this is what it's all about. You know, the boys in this circle right now, it's us. Like, let's get up on the stage and let's do it. You know, let's bring it all.
Before we do the we huddle up. For me personally, I kind of have like, I gotta like. I, like, start to freak out, and people are asking me questions. I'm like, huh, what? Yeah, okay. And I got to, like, run off by myself and just be like, got this. Do your very best. Like, I don't know. Silly, yeah. Oh, yeah. We also do this silly thing where we all talk in a Stone Cold Steve Austin voice. If you'd like to get a little taste, I'll show you. But... it's just a little bit like this. I'll say, boys, are you ready to rock and roll? Give me a hell yeah, and then we'll just do that. Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Wow.
It's silly. Maybe slam a couple beers. But yeah, no. We just make sure everybody's feeling good before we play. This has been an awesome interview, by the way.
Thank you. I was like, yeah, I was extremely nervous. I had, like, rushed from work to get here, and I was trying not to let on that I was nervous, so this is cool. It feels like we're old friends catching up, you know what I mean? So.
That's cool, yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much. I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor if there's anything you'd like to say to our audience.
I don't know, just... make art yourselves, create as much as you can, and as far as things that we've got coming up, we have a tour with the Weeks, if you want to check the dates and come see us, we've also got a tour out west with Soft White Sixties, if you want to check us out, and check our music out on any of the streaming services and all that, but yeah, on top of all that, if you want to make something, do it.
Going to do any writing, like, while you're on the road, or
sure.
You're going to do...
Yeah, we definitely are, and we definitely have some new songs coming up as well that aren't on the EP whatsoever, and we obviously haven't released yet, but I'd like to say thank you for listening in the first place. Thank you for tuning into this interview and this article. If you haven't listened to it, and you are, you know, tuning in right now, please go give it a listen, and just thank you so much, and, you know, be good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.